Welcome to episode number 59 of the Memory Jar audio blog. As always, we are here to remember the cards, the decks, the people, and the stories that make Magic the Gathering the game we love. I'm David Prestwood, and with me is my co-host, Christian Wright. Christian, how you doing?
Hey, dude, hope everything's cracking. And at least I have chicken.
Oh, boy. Is Leroy Jenkins the video that's going around right now? Do you see it on that brand new video sharing site, YouTube?
No, but oh my god, it's hilarious. Just like that awesome Showdown one, you know, Ultimate Showdown is just absolutely hysterical.
Wow, dude. I think you are on the internet too much.
How could there be such a thing?
I mean, look, I can't do that. I just started an important job on Capitol Hill. This is going to be my ticket to the big leagues.
Dude, let's focus. We're losing track of the thread here. It's like we're so random.
Okay, then. So on topic. Hey, everyone. It's our year in review show. Boom goes the dynamite. We're looking back at the year that was the craziest year of my life this year, 2005. We're going to talk about the end of the Kamigawa block, the new Ravnica set, and what we think Guild Pact will bring us, and talk about our favorite cards of the year. All right, well, like we always do, let's start by cracking open the memory jar. All right, this week our random card is, this is a really strange one from Unglued. It's Timmy Power Gamer. 2 green for a 1/1 legend, and you can pay 4 and put a creature into play from your hand. So we just got our second unset this year, as we're calling him now, in Unhinged. You think we're going to get any more?
I hope so, man. It's hilarious. I love the jokes on the cards and, like, you know, it's just the whole half thing was pretty funny and the butts, like, see the ass, like, that's just, wow. Ass is hilarious. You know, I love South Park. but yeah, man, I'd love it. Let's do some more. Let's get some more unsets. I wonder what do you think the third was going to be about?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, it could be anything. They've already done, you know, so many options. No idea.
I don't know.
All right. Well, this card's pretty sweet. It's kind of like Elvish Piper. It's clearly better than that because you don't have to tap it. Like, you do have to pay 4, but you can just, like, do this at any time.
Yeah, it's like there's that bad blue card in Urza Saga Show and Tell. Like, it's like Show and Tell.
Your opponent doesn't get to put anything into play.
Right, which is good. And it reminds me of that red Champions Kamigawa card. I mean, it's 2004. So, you know, pre-second Bush to turn boo, but you know, it's kind of like that. I like it, where it's just like you get to flash it in, and, you know, kind of like Sneak Attack, that other old Urza Saga card. Like, you know, I dig it.
Yeah. So what do you want to do with this card? What do you want to cheat into play?
I think I'm doing like Sera Avatar or Darksteel Colossus, man. Those are the two best creatures right now, and why not just play with the best?
Well, here's my plan. I want to build a whole deck around this card. I want to use it to put Grozoth into play, the new rare from Ravnica. That's 6 blue for a 9/9 with Defender. But when it comes into play, you can search your library for any number of cards that have converted mana cost 9, reveal them, and put them into your hand. And then if you do that, you shuffle your library. You can also pay 4 to have Grozoth lose Defender until end of turn. But it also has 1 blue Transmute. So you can discard it and get another 9 mana cost card in your hand. And then you go all the way back to 5th Dawn, and you have the Bringer of Dawn cycle. The 5/9 where you can pay, like, Wooburg instead of paying their mana cost. They all have Trample and they all have some cool ability. So you could just, like, fill your hand with those and then dump them into play at the end of your opponent's turn. So then you get the upkeep triggers on your upkeep. And then as one more bonus, not a Bringer of Dawn, but a Dawnbringer. I put Rhea Dawnbringer from Invasion into the deck because at the beginning of your upkeep, then you can return creatures from your graveyard to play. So you could get back, like, your Grozoth and get a bunch more cards or one of the Bringers. Yeah, this seems sweet.
This is amazing. Like, this type of wordplay, are you trying to get on SNL or something? This is hilarious.
All right, so before we get to the real stuff everyone is talking about, and in order to practice being TV commentators like people on the West Wing, let's real talk about 2005. So, quick year in review. One of the most popular albums this year was Green Day's American Idiot, inspired by President Bush, who will undoubtedly be the worst president in our lifetime.
I just can't see how you can get any worse than Bush. This is just, yeah. I can't believe the American people. This is grotesque.
Lance Armstrong won his 7th Tour de France this year. All-time sports great. You know, will go down in history as, like, not only a great athlete, but a great person.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, the Livestrong bracelets are such a big deal. And, like, this guy, American saint. Put him on Mount Rushmore.
A lot of great movies this year. I really like The Constant Gardener. I thought Cinderella Man was underrated. I heard really good things about Brokeback Mountain, but I couldn't get to the little indie theater near me before it was gone. And you know, that's the challenge. It's not like I can watch these things at home.
No, you can't. I was a big fan. I was nerding out this year, man. I love Batman Begins. Like,
Okay.
that could be just be one of the best movies of all time, you know? V for Vendetta was also deep, like really deep thoughts about our political system, you know? But and also that last Star Wars movie, man, it's like it could be better than Return of the Jedi. I think so. Like it's up there. And we're not gonna get any more Star Wars movies in our life, so end on a high note, right?
Wow, better than Return of the Jedi. I'm going to remind you that you said that every time we talk from now on.
That's fine, man. I'll stick by it. 100%. Planting my flag in this one.
Okay, well, obviously, the worst thing that happened this year was Hurricane Katrina and Rita. They were the big story. Lots of death and destruction and devastation in the Gulf, especially in New Orleans. And hopefully, this will spur us to finally do something about climate change. I mean, it has to, right?
Right. I hope so. And, you know, I'm glad that there's been a lot of charity work around this. I know after this, I'm going to go and raise some more money for people in New Orleans to get back on their feet, you know, like.
A true American tragedy. All right, on a brighter note, Christian, how have you been spending your 2005?
Molten Core, a lot of WoW, a lot of World of Warcraft, man. It's just I play some Magic on the side, but you know, like I got a gnome warlock. It's got to be getting cloth. It's got to be tailoring. It's got, you know, there's a lot. And also, I've taken a lot of AP classes this year. I'm very stressed out about that. You know, I want to do well. I want to get that college credit because that's going to be really important for the rest of my life. So I gotta stay focused.
Okay, well, you know, I'm a few years ahead of you, no longer in high school. I graduated from law school this year and moved to DC. So now I'm working on Capitol Hill, and I haven't had a lot of time and definitely not a lot of money to play Magic. These jobs do not pay very well when you're just starting out. You know, really enjoying media this year. I mentioned some movies. I've been listening to Late Registration, the new Kanye West album, and that dude is a straight up genius.
Oh, dude,
Genius.
that video for Touch the Sky is dope, man.
Yeah.
That's just he's gonna have a future. I think, you know, he'll definitely go to Candy Mountain. You know, like the unicorns, Charlie the Unicorn.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I saw that video too on Newgrounds, I think.
Yes,
Yep.
yeah. Come on, man,
All
get
right.
with the kids. Get with the
Okay.
kids.
I'm an old man now. I'm 26. Anyway, I'm also hoping to pick up an Xbox 360 after the new year.
Oh
Now
yeah.
that the Christmas rush is done.
I'm
So
not an
that'll be
Xbox guy
nice.
myself, but I like my
Sure.
N64.
Fair enough.
Wait, can you do me a favor? I know you're old and shit, but can you give me a Gmail and a Facebook? Like I'm really trying to angle for those and like they've been it's hard to get on, man. I could use a hookup.
I mean, I've been on Facebook for a year or so, but you know, you're gonna have to get your college email address before that's gonna work out for you. And I'm sorry, I'm out of exclusive Gmail invites for this year. So yeah,
Oh my
maybe after the
God.
new year, I'll get some more in my account.
Can I use the blog email then? Is that fine? Can I use that? Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, you can always access it. You can try it out.
I'm not going to sign up for porn, I swear to
Yeah, well, we'll see. All right, so let's move on and talk about Magic in 2005. What a year!
God, it's been a year, man. So let's start at the top. It's very top of the year, right? They finally banned Affinity. It took forever. God, Affinity was just so good. Standard bannings are really bad. First ones really since Urza Saga, and hopefully we never see anything that extensive again. Outside of Skullclamp got banned, but like it was just a little late. But finally, they banned the rest of Affinity, and then also Uzo's Jitte. The card's really good.
Yeah.
Oh
Probably the
man.
most broken thing since Skullclamp.
Oh yeah, dude. Like, and the thing is, right, is you have to play your own four copies so that you would kill your opponent's copies, right? Like. The thank God they changed the legend rule in time, but oh, that would have been such a disaster if they hadn't. Portal sets are legal now in old formats, so like if you need another Vampiric Tutor, you got one Imperial Seal right from Portal Three Kingdoms.
Well, I mean, they did ban it in Legacy, and it's restricted in Vintage, but you know, Vintage is probably where you want it anyway.
Right. Yeah, you know, doesn't hurt right to have another tutor.
No.
And like other than that, you know, we got some fun ninjutsu cards. I love that's like my favorite mechanic of the year. Ninjas, right? Really cool. Like, kind of like my favorite animes that I watch. You get the ninjas going in and out. Love it. Like, Ink Eyes is such a fun card. But man, tell me how bad Savior of Kamigawa was.
Yeah, not great. I mean, the only card I really like is Sakashima the Imposter. Definitely my favorite, but you know, I'm a clone fan.
Yeah.
So, you know, other than that, the cards that flip over like didn't really end up doing it. So, just pretty weak altogether.
I know we got another year, or we'll get another, what, 6 or 8 months of this, but like, I don't know. I'm not optimistic. They're like, what are they going to do? Are they going to break Ebony Allen's suitcase for some reason? I doubt it. Like, what are they? There's all these cards are garbage. Ugh. The other thing I'll say for personally is someone on MTG Salvation, which is an awesome site, it's going to live forever. They invented a format called Three Card Blind, and that is super fun. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's great. You pick three cards, you play them against other people. There's some other rules. It's just super fun. It's like a little puzzle for your brain.
Yeah, I do like that. We also had 9th edition this year, and, you know, didn't really do it for me. Is there a way to fix core sets?
They're just boring. Who cares about reprints? You know what? What if they just had a whole new set in the summer? That would have to be better.
Yeah. I like the idea of core sets for new players, but, you know, because the Star Order and the Portal thing didn't really work out very well. I mean, the fact that they, like, just added them to these old formats now is a good sign. So if they were at least better for booster draft, maybe we could get something out of it, but I don't know. It's just, like, just reprints and reprints and reprints.
I also don't know why they got white borders. I mean, I like white borders, but even I think it's weird, and that's the only white border set of the year. Just, well, how hard is it to keep them in black border?
No, I like that. I think, and you know, I think because they're the basic product, they're going to be in white borders forever. You know, I started playing Revised, and there's just something about those white bordered cards for the beginners that you know, really speaks to me. So big fan. That's fair.
You could tell who the noob at the table is.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You don't have those Antiquities Tron lands. You have the 9th edition Tron lands with the worst art.
I know. What losers. God. Just. You know what, though? I will say, it's kind of random. Like, why is Blood Moon legal? I don't get that. Maybe that'll be a thing. I don't know. That seems weird.
Well, it seems kind of bad for the cool new dual lands in Ravnica.
Oh, yeah. Like the ones that shock you when they come into play?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk a little about Ravnica. I think this set is super fun. They do these guilds, and so they have four different guilds that are like two color pairs, and so the whole set, instead of being, you know, five color free-for-all like always, is really designed where you're trying to play two colors and specifically one of these four pairs. So which one of these guilds is your favorite?
I love Dimir. Like, I'm a big fan. You know, another good one.
And for our listeners, Dimir is the black and blue. Yeah. Guild. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, this is kind of new. Like, people aren't totally entrenched. But yeah, I do a ton of these drafts online. It has to be the blue-black one. I know we're only incomplete. There's only, what, four of these?
Yeah.
Hopefully the others are cool. Like, I know they're color balanced too, right? So we have the blue-black one, right? Dimir. Mm-hmm. What's the green-white one? These are kind of weird names. I don't know if they're going to stick or not.
It's like Selesnya, and then there's also red-white, which is Boros.
Yeah.
And then green black, which is Golgari. So they're kind of weird names to remember, and you know, we'll see if they catch on. And then theoretically we're gonna get like three guilds in each of the next two sets, or maybe like four and then two, you know, I'm not sure yet. But Dimir is also my favorite. I think Transmute might be broken as an ability. It's just like a tutor for the other cards in your deck. And then I do also like Selesnya, especially because of Convoke is a cool mechanic. Like, it lets you tap your creatures for mana basically for the spells. And especially that Court of Calling card, it's like X green, 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 and you can, as an instant, like, go get a creature with converted mana cost X or less from your deck. But I don't know why you would do that when, if you want a tutor, you could just transmute.
Right, I don't know. I will say, they have that, there's that cool Selesnya rare, or sorry, green-white. It's really hard with these names. It's the Glare of Subdual. We're going to talk about this a little later, but... I like the fact that it plays well with the tokens. You know, like, you don't really see tokens a whole lot. I'm a huge fan of, like, using these Saperlings. Like, they come back from Invasion. We got Saperlings again, which is amazing. And we're using Saperlings to just tap everything down. Like, how fun is that? It's like Opposition, but in the right colors.
Yeah. No, super cool. Yeah. So, we talked a little bit about Transmute and Convoke. What about Dredge and Radiance? Which one do you think is worse?
Oh, God, they're so bad. Oh, you know... like, I know we have some time. Not all the sets are out, so we, you know, who knows what other cards are going to put in to support it. But I want to say, like, Dredge is bad because at least you could pump your entire team with, like, a giant growth. Like, how cool is that? Like, you might pump your opponent's creatures by accident, but, like, if you got five red creatures or five green creatures and they got none, then you just gave +3/+3 for one mana for your entire team. Like, that has to be good at some point. Like, I don't see why self-milling yourself is any good. These cards are also bad.
Yeah, so the only thing I like about it is I have this old Nether Shadow deck that I built way back in the day, where, you know, Nether Shadow is a 1/1 that if there are three creatures underneath it in your graveyard, you get to put it into play.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so I had this deck that would play Nether Shadows and sacrifice them to Hell's Caretaker to bring back another creature from my graveyard, usually Rookegg, and then I could sacrifice the Rookegg to get a 4/4 flying Rook. And so I feel like the Dredge card, if I'm putting a bunch of the Nether Shadows in my graveyard, I might just get them back for free. And granted, this deck isn't good, so it's not like broken or anything, but it seems pretty fun, so I'm gonna try that out.
Yeah, but I mean, like, don't you run out of cards in your deck at some point? Like, don't you need to run like Gaia's Blessings or something so you can shuffle your graveyard back in your library? Like,
I mean,
that's what I'm worried about.
I'll be honest, I might just play a bunch of dredge cards in like an 80 or 90 card deck.
Oof, I don't know, man.
Right, well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
But yeah. I will say everyone was really hyped about Moonlight Bargain when this set came out, and it's kind of just been shot off the face of the earth. I think there's hope. You know, this is Moonlight Bargain, in case listeners you forgot about it like everyone else has, right? It's three black black for an instant. You look at the top five cards of your library. For each card, put the card into your graveyard unless you pay two life, and then put the rest in your hand. Like, this seems good. Like, you can set up some cool reanimate stuff happening, and like you got it's card draw. Like, you know, three, you know, drawing two cards for four life. That's agreed. Like, how bad is that?
Yeah, you gotta assume. I mean, let's say you get like three spells and two lands is gonna be the average. You're already at five mana, so maybe you don't care that much about the lands. So like, you could pay at most like six to draw three.
Yeah.
I mean, it's expensive. It's a card. It's five mana, but yeah, I don't know. Could be like a busted combo piece.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. There's still time, right? It just came out. Yeah, so we're recording this on the last day of 2005, you know, being very appropriate, got all the days in before we reviewed the year. Got to be a completist like that. Like that Dwight Schrute on that new Office show, like I'm really vibing with that guy, you know. I get it.
Hold on a sec. Let's talk about that for a sec. So, did you see the BBC one, the British one?
No, I heard about it. I heard it was funny. So I don't know if this new one's going to be as good as the first one, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, the first season has seemed okay, but like the British one, there's that guy like Ricky Gervais or whatever, like
Oh, yeah.
yeah, he was pretty funny and it was like really cringy. I just don't know if American audiences are ready for like that level of cringe.
I don't know. It has that guy, though. I mean, I didn't watch it. I heard great things about 40-Year-Old Virgin, though. It has that guy in
Oh
it.
yeah.
And he was on The Daily Show.
He,
So is it
yeah, the Daily
Steve?
Show guy.
Like the two Steves guys, a Steve Colbert? No, Steve Carell.
It's the
That's the
other
other
one.
one. Yeah, I mean, I think like that. I mean, if he was on The Daily Show, he has to be good, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Good, like improv guy, that kind of thing. Anyway.
So, random tangent aside, we still got time. We're not going to get a core set next summer. I don't know what they're going to do next summer, actually. That's going to be really interesting. We'll see what happens. Like, there's still two more Ravnica block sets, and you know, there's got to be some hope. Maybe they'll have some ramp. I don't know. Who
Could
knows?
be something that makes it good. We'll have to see. So, what else happened this year?
Oh, can't forget about the Hall of Fame. That was a big deal, right? Magic has its finally has a Hall of Fame.
Congrats to the first Hall of Fame class. Really interesting group. John Finkel, not surprisingly, getting a ton of votes. Best of all time?
Yeah, I mean, that or Kai, man. One of the two.
Okay. Yeah. You know, that's a debate that I'm sure will be settled sometime in the next couple years. Also cool to see two of the Invitational winners get in on the first class.
Oh, it's three. How did we
Oh.
forget about Ollie, man?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Coming in, you know, he was the fifth place vote getter. But that's pretty sweet. You know who I want to see? Is Chris Pakula. So
Oh,
Brian
yeah.
David Marshall, who, you know, people who know call BDM, wrote an article that came out yesterday on the MagicTheGathering.com site about how Chris Pakula has come back into the game. I'm sure he's just going to be in the Hall of Fame in no time.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, he has an Invitational card after him. He's the nicest guy. He stopped cheating. Like, you'd have to be legally insane to not have him in the Hall of Fame.
Just a no-brainer.
Yeah. I will say, I can't wait to play Vanish into Memory. They had another You Make the Card. All we have left to vote for is the flavor text, but we can tell you, in case you have not paid attention or you're not up to date on it, we could tell you the rest of the card. So it's a white blue instant. You remove target creature from the game. You draw cards equal to that creature's power. At the beginning of your next upkeep, return that card to play under its owner's control. If you do, discard cards equal to its toughness.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's pretty sweet. So it's a bunch of kind of temporary card draw. And, you know, you do it sometime on your turn. You've got a chance to play a bunch of cards there.
Yeah.
And at the very least, it's a bunch of card selection. You get a creature out of the way. Sweet.
Yeah, I like it because the cool thing is it's really good to stop crazy combat. They have a big Goblin pile driver attacking you. Well, actually, it has protection from blue. Never mind, that won't work. Well, I'll think of another great example. But like you get a Darksteel Colossus that's draw 12, discard 12. Like you gotta, as you said, you gotta find 12 good cards between now and then. Oh, sorry, 11. I'm really off today, man. I wish I had some sort of tool. Yeah, I know we got Gatherer, but like it's so hard to use Gatherer to look up cards. I wish we had a better tool to just be able to find cards, like some sort of encyclopedia. I don't know.
Perhaps someday.
Someday, man. Someday. Well, speaking of cards, we can't wait to play Invitational stuff. We have an Invitational card we're looking forward to that should be coming out soonish. We don't know when. It's Terry Sell's card, right?
Yeah, he submitted a card called Jin, Master of Disruption. It's black-black for a 2/2 zombie wizard, and you can pay 0 and reveal your hand. Target player will choose a card from it, and you discard it. And if you do, that player reveals their hand, and you choose a card from it, and that player discards that card. So you can play that ability only anytime you can play a sorcery, and only once each turn. But, in a deck where you're dumping your hand out and your opponent isn't, you can really take their best pieces.
Yeah, so like I think this could be really interesting. It opens like some cool stuff. Like I loved Dodekabod back in the day. This is a 4-mana artifact creature for a 3/3. It is an Apocalypse, just one of my favorite cards. But if opponent causes you to discard it, you can come to play a 2+1/+1 counters on it. So it didn't get discarded. It just went right into play, and you got a 5/5. Yeah, like I'd love to see that type cool little Johnny. Is that what it's called? Johnny cards? Like that'd be fun.
Yeah, cool. Well, this year I've also been playing some multiplayer Magic with my friends. I've been doing that for a long time, of course, but finally we have a sanctioned multiplayer format. It's never happened before. It's called Two-Headed Giant. And I'll put a link to the article about the rules on our blog. But basically, you get to play with a partner, and then you have an opponent who plays with a partner, and you play at the same time. So it's like you share an upkeep and a draw step and all this stuff, and you're like battling against the other people. It's not free for all like most of the multiplayer games out there.
Well, do you have 40 life?
I don't know, actually. I'm sure that's handled in the article.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure. I'm just curious, man. That seems interesting. Like, wasn't there a like two-headed giant of forests way back in the day? Wasn't there?
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was
Oh,
a
I
card in
see.
alpha that it was one of the ones where they printed it in alpha, beta, and unlimited, but they didn't continue it in revised. When I was started playing, it was like worth a bunch of money, $10 or something, because it wasn't in revised. When I was in high school, that was a lot of money for sure. Some of my judge friends have been playing this multiplayer format where you have like giant decks and you have to play Elder Dragons. It sounds really weird, but they're super into it, and it's probably like another flash in the pan format, but I definitely want to try it and I will report back on how that goes.
You should, because like I know five color's been a thing, and I'd love to see like more weird formats. And yeah, if they don't survive, whatever. But like just have fun playing Magic.
Yeah, I mean, you know how much I love Rainbow Stairwell.
Yes. Oh God, Rainbow
I
Stairwell
mean,
is the best.
every time Benny Smith writes about Rainbow Stairwell on MagicTheGathering.com, I'm extremely into it.
Yes. Yeah. No. Benny Smith forever, man.
And then I'll also share, just as a year in review, Brian David Marshall also wrote a top 10 for 2005 on MagicTheGathering.com, and so I'll put that on the blog.
So speaking of recap stuff, let's talk about some of our favorite cards this year. What were your highlights? What were your three favorites?
All right, let's each do three. I'll start with one. For me, the first one is Doubling Season. This is a rare from Ravnica City of Guilds. It's four and a green for an enchantment, and it says if an effect would put one or more tokens into play under your control, it puts twice that many into play instead. If an effect would place one or more counters on a permanent you control, it places twice that many on that permanent instead. So basically, it's doubling season, everything's being doubled, and we talked earlier about how the new green-white guild is wanting to make tokens and put counters on things. It's just like a super cool card for that. And there's a lot of old cards I want to try to make this work with. Like, can you imagine this in a deck with like Hydras, like Rock
Oh
Hydra?
yeah. Oh, that'd be so
Yeah.
cool. Like, and it's really cool. It's a lord for tokens. Like, how great is that? We who'd have thought we've never had a lord for tokens until now. So my first card, I'm on some anime stuff, man. I love it. Ninja the Deep Hours is one of the cards, like one of the first ones that popped in my mind. It's three and a blue for a 2/2 human ninja, not a turtle ninja. I wonder if we're ever gonna get one of those. It has ninjutsu, so you can play one in a blue, return an unblocked attacker you control to hand, put this card into play from hand tapped attacking, and whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. It's Ophidian. It's Surprise Ophidian. It's amazing.
Yeah, three and a blue for a 2/2 Ophidian isn't great. It's like more expensive and dies easier than Ophidian. But if you can get it in there on a surprise, that's awesome. Especially for just 2 mana.
No, I mean that's. You could sneak it in. You could play some like Ornithopter. I don't know.
Yeah,
What a
Flying
spell.
Men.
Yeah, exactly. Oof.
Well, my second one is Copy Enchantment, also a rare from Ravnica. It's two and a blue, and as it comes into play, you can choose an enchantment in play, and if you do, Copy Enchantment comes into play as a copy of that enchantment. I've always loved Copy Artifact, one of the first rares I got when I started playing back in Revised, and now we have an enchantment version. It just made so much sense, and they finally did it.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. Would you copy Doubling Season?
That sounds pretty sweet. Also, the flavor text on this card talks about Simic mages creating redundant backups of their experiments, and that makes me think that Simic is like one of the other guilds.
I think so. I wonder, like, experiments, are they scientists?
Probably.
I don't know.
Pretty sweet.
We'll have to read the book. That's on my list.
Yeah.
Speaking of other cards, I'm going to go through my first Ravnica card. I'm a huge fan of Dark Confidant. Listeners, you probably know what this is, but I'm going to read it anyway on the off chance you don't. Dark Confidant, one in black for a 2/1 human wizard. At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card in your library, put that card in your hand, and you lose life equal to its converted mana cost. It's Bob Marr, the great one.
Yeah.
The flavor text references, that's pretty great too. But yeah, it's great to finally see this Invitational card, and I think it's not Necropotence, but yeah, it's great. Just seems like a nice, neat little 2/1.
Hopefully you're gaining life in your deck with this card, or you're not playing your 9-mana Grozoth, but seems like a pretty cool way to draw cards in black and lose life, which, like you mentioned, black has been doing for a super long time.
Yeah, it might be a sleeper hit. I don't know if this is going to like make waves or anything. We'll see.
Okay. Well, my third card is actually, I'm cheating a little bit, it's a group of cards. It's the Signet cards from Ravnica. These commons, each one costs 2 mana, and then you can pay 1 and tap and add, like, 2 colored mana to your mana pool of whatever that guild is. So like for Dimir Signet, you would add blue-black. These cards are super cool way to ramp for like 2 mana. And they were super awesome in this draft format.
Oh, dude, they're like one of the best cards in draft. If you see like a 3rd or 4th pick Signet, those guys are dummies in front of you. Just absolute donkeys.
The fact that they put these in a set with the new 2-color Karu lands, that like when you put them into play, you return a land to your hand, and then they tap for 2 mana... is just like, you will always have the mana to cast your spells. Also, fun fact about the Signets. So all 4 of the Signets in Ravnica were illustrated by Greg Hildebrandt, but 2 of them on the card were credited to Tim Hildebrandt. As you probably know, Greg and Tim are like, the brothers Hildebrandt have like both illustrated Magic cards and have also done some together. And so they just like screwed up the artist credit on Boros and Dimir.
I'm sure that's not causing any sibling rivalry. So my last card, I got to give a nod to the World Championship and how good this card was. It just ended too, so this is fresh in my mind. I'm a big fan of Glare of Subdual. So this is 2 green-white for a enchantment. It says tap untapped creature you control, tap target artifact or creature. So it's not opposition, but it's fixed opposition. And that's still really good. So speaking of that then, we're talking about Worlds. Let's go through some of the different formats. Let's talk about our favorite decks of the year. I want to start with the Ghazi Glare deck. This is the deck that just won the World Championships by Katsuhiro Mori. And basically, it uses the Glare of Subdual we talked about, but it makes a bunch of tokens with Vitu Ghazi, the city tree. That seems so ridiculous. Like, I can't believe they made a land that just lets you create creatures. This is like Kil'jorin Outpost, and that card was insane.
Yeah, the deck is super cool, and it makes good use of Umezawa's Jitte, of course.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the kind of thing you want in this deck. For me, my favorite deck was Andre Coimbra's Bug Critical deck that lost in quarterfinals at Worlds. And this was a deck that was designed to have some creatures that were going to get in and be unblockable, and then back them up with counterspells and cards like Threads of Disloyalty. So it has Ninja of the Deep Hours, and it has Moloku the Clouded Mirror to make your 1/1s to get in, and then Ninjutsu, Hypnotic Spectre, right? So they've got to block something here, and they're all kind of bad choices. And of course, this deck also plays Umezawa's Jitte, because why would it not?
Right. Yeah, it's just been a weird year. Patriots of Kamigawa had those cool Black-White Knights decks. They had some cool Spirit decks and Tallow Wisp and all that. I'm liking these end-of-the-year decks a lot more. But that's just me. I will say, shout-out to the Enduring Ideal deck. That's super fun. It gets to play Form of the Dragon, which is one of my favorite cards. And I would love to include it, but I can't rightfully play a deck that plays Xur's Weirding. I don't get that. Why would you play that card? Seems bad. You had
Love that card. Love Xur's Weirding.
You had me until Xur's Weirding. Akira, Asara. I can't do it. So let's go to more interesting formats, because Standard is cool and all. But what about Extended?
There are a lot of cool choices in Extended, from the Heartbeat combo deck to the Rock decks are really cool. I think the coolest one for me is Cephalid Breakfast, but the one I really love is Blue-Green Madness. You're discarding all kinds of cards to your madness creatures. So, I mean, you don't get any new cards here. You're just playing a bunch of sweet old cards. But unlike the old standard deck, you get to play Days and Intuition. And so how are your opponents going to interact with you is the question. And reality, they're not. You're just going to dump all this cool stuff into your graveyard and make your giant wild mongrels. And you're really going to live the dream.
I'm just glad you can play a budget deck in an older format. How cool is that? Good on you, OMS. He really knocked it out of the park here. I love that Cephalid Breakfast deck. Oh my god. I think some Brazilian teams like Javier Dominguez might have started this, I think. But, you know, it's really taken Extended by Storm. And I love it. I love the one that Shuhei Nakamura played earlier this year, where you also got to play the infinite life combo with it. I just love it. I'm going to do this really bad thing, but it just happens to win me a game. And like,
you just love these decks that don't do anything.
Yes. And listeners, if you have not been paying attention to Extended this year, let me give you a heads up about this deck. Just super, super quick. So you have a card called Cephalid Illusionist. And if it's the target of a spell or ability, you mill yourself for three cards. You want to do that. I know it's weird. Normally you want to mill your opponent. You want to do that to yourself. Because what happens is you find and you want to get Sutured Ghoul into your graveyard. And Sutured Ghoul is from Judgment, I know. But when it enters the battlefield, you exile any number of creature cards in your graveyard. And its power and tough is equal to the combined power and toughness of all the creature cards you exile. So you exile Krosan Cloud Scrapers, which are huge. We know they're big. They're some of the biggest creatures in Magic. They're 13-13s. And you get a big one, and it gets haste thanks to Dragon Breath, which is another Scourge card that gives your big creature, if it's in the graveyard, it gives a big creature haste. You know, comes attached, and you just win the game in one shot. You just go, pew! Super cool, plays a lot of cool old cards. I really dig it.
Yeah, I agree with you. That deck is definitely the coolest. Right, so Legacy decks. For me, it's got to be the Aether Vile Goblins decks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those are fun.
This also makes really good use of that card Kiki Jiki from the Kamigawa block, the card that you can tap it and it'll make a token copy of another creature, which is just like such an insane value engine with cards like Goblin Ringleader, Goblin Matron, Goblin Recruiter. How do you lose when you are just putting all of your goblins into play?
I really, really loved that Oriok Salvager's the deck, the Salvage game. It's another combo deck, listeners. I've just been on combo all year long. Just love it. Yeah, it plays this really crappy card. Like, remember the bad Black Lotus, Dave? Lion's Eye Diamond?
Yeah, that's just an insult to Black Lotus.
Yeah, it's just awful. But here's the thing. There's a card called Oriok Salvagers, and it's 3 and a white for a 2/4. If you pay 1 and a white, it returns target artifact card with a current amount of cost 1 or less from your graveyard your hand. So it doesn't matter if you discard your hand. You know, there's some 0 mana artifacts you can go on and win after this, but it's still infinite mana with Lion's Eye Diamond. So if you can't play Black Lotus, you play the bad one. Like, I guess. And you just get this thing where you eventually can recast Pirate Spellbomb to win you the game. You can also recast Chromatic Sphere to draw your deck till you find Pirate Spellbomb. It's a cool, cool combo deck.
That sounds sweet. So how about Vintage?
Oh, yeah, dude, Vintage, man. I'm a sucker for artifacts, and I've been loving the Uba Stacks decks. So they're like the traditional Stacks decks where you have Smokestack, you have Chalice of the Void, which is really good. But it plays this card called Uba Mask, which is different, which basically prevents cards, player would draw a card, it's removed from the game, but you can still play them if you're new to the game. So you can set up stuff where like you have smaller hand sizes and you make it so your opponents can't play cards and you lock them out of the game. I love it.
That sounds like you. You know, if I loved Vile Goblins, that I absolutely love Food Chain Goblins, which is basically the same thing, which is with Food Chain, sign me up. Sacrificing your goblins to cast more goblins seems like the thing you want to do.
Oh, hell, 100%. That's a lot, man. This has been a lot to talk to you. A lot happened in 2005. This is just wild.
Yeah. It's been a big year. I'm already looking forward to 2006. But before we go, I wanted to do some big brain predictions, as you like to say. So in honor of your high school senior year, let's think about where we're going to be in the future. Let's predict the next 5, 10, even 15 years from now in Magic history. So let's start at 5 years, Christian. Where are we going to be in 5 years?
5 years? I think we're going to have better core sets. But they're just going to reprint only good cards and no bad ones. They're just going to go through and be like, you know, get rid of that stupid the reserve list. That thing's like not even that old. Get rid of it. Print duels. Print like Force of Wills. Why not? Just bring back old Magic.
Okay, that's an interesting prediction. I think Magic is going to go back to Dominaria sooner than later. You know, most of our first sets were on Dominaria, and then we'll also venture to new territories, including, hear me out here, outer space. We're going to have an outer space set. Yeah, I mean, look, we've already had the Weatherlight. Why not just have actual spaceships? Just big artifact spaceships.
Dude, like, Phyrexians are aliens. I'm down. Let's do it.
All right. It can happen. Yeah. All right, 10 years, Christian. Where are we going to be in 10 years?
You know what? I don't like Kamigawa, but I think maybe in 10 years we'll find a return to Kamigawa.
Yeah, that's a lock, man. We're going to have to go back. Ninjutsu's too cool, and there's just, like, so much design space there. I think in 10 years we'll still have Moto accounts, but most of our games will be played in, like, a Chandelar environment, kind of like World of Warcraft, but you just, like, meet people there, and that's how you play Magic.
Okay, yeah, okay, I can see that. Like, do you think instead of paper boosters, we'll just have virtual boosters?
Yeah, well, I mean, there'll still be paper boosters, too. Okay. But you'll be able to, like, scan your cards and then play with them in the Chandelar world.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I'd love that, man. I don't know if the technology's there, because, I mean, webcams, just, they suck. But maybe we'll figure
it out. Yeah, it's going to be 10 years from now? Come on, 10 years.
Yeah, remember that Radio Shack, the mouse thing that was a dud?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll just bring that type of thing back.
It'll work.
What about 15 years? Way down the line.
15 years?
2020. Right. What do you think?
2020, 15 years. Okay, so I'm guessing in 15 years... we'll all be playing virtual Magic, but in VR headsets, right? You'll scan the cards you own, like the Chandelar thing, and you can use them to play people from around the world, but you can do it in real time using, like, realistic avatars of yourself, like you're playing at Worlds.
So you're going to take those 3D headsets from the 90s, and you think everyone's going to wear those?
Not the ones from the 90s, the ones from 2020. They're going to be amazing, and it's just going to be, like, walking around in the real world playing cards. You'll have your hand, and you... move your hands to, like, play the cards and everything. It's gonna be awesome.
Okay. I'd be
well, this is, we're talking about the future, man. 2020.
Yeah, that's true. 15 years, man. Maybe we'll be out of Iraq by then, hopefully, and they'll solve some of our problems. That'd be good, man. So I have one. This is gonna be wild. So we've had a lot of great creatures lately. Like, I think Dark Confidant's a fantastic creature. Goblin Welder, really one of the best creatures ever. You know, the fact that you can return artifacts, it's a staple of Vintage. I don't know how much further they can go, but I think we're going to get to a point where we'll get a stupid creature because Blizzard loves reanimator stuff. Yeah, so it'll do something stupid like when it comes into play, you draw 3 cards, you gain 5 life, and then put 2 lands in play. Something like that. I think we're going to get that, and reanimator decks will be able to play it because it has to cost like 10 mana or something. Like, that card's insane, but... it just,
yeah, and with those abilities, what is that? Blue, 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 white, 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 green, green, green... something like that?
It's got to be something like that. But only reanimator decks, because there's just no way.
I don't know, man. All you need is a Timmy Power Gamer. Put that in play. Tutor him up with your Grozoth. It could be somewhere.
That's true. I forget about that.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today. You can find us on iTunes, MySpace, and can access an RSS 2.0 feed on our Blogspot. We would love your feedback, so please hit us up. And then you can also send us an email at remembersomecards@gmail.com. Yes, I'm sorry. I used an exclusive Gmail invite for our audio blog's email address.
I hope that's not illegal.
It's probably fine.
Okay. Again, yeah. Special thanks to Christopher Yates for the logo on our blog and the icon for our RSS feed. We really appreciate it. I'm glad you can use Photoshop. You can find Chris on the internet. Just Google his name. Listen to this podcast 2 or 3 times and Google it. You won't be disappointed. Until next time, nerds, make sure your 2006 is great and deck the halls.
You know, totally out there. You know what? It's probably my humps.
Oh, God, yeah.
Seeing now, my humps happened in 2005, so it's something about humps and lumps from 2005.
Like a nerd joke version of that.